Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Wait. They will not force us. They will not deny us.
They will not control us.
Oh, yeah.
We will be victorious.
We are canceling the apocalypse. Today on the Command Zone. What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How is it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
That's right. We're canceling the apocalypse because today we are talking about the Commander 2016 pre-con deck, starting with
Idris. It's called Entropic Uprising.
Actually, we're not starting with this one. We just did another episode this week. We're getting two. This is the second of them. We did Atraxa in the other episode, but this is our yearly review of the Commander deck products.
Yeah, so what we're going to do here is the same we did for Atraxa. We're going to look at the pre-con, we're going to break it down, we're going to say what it's trying to do. If you play it directly out of the box, here's how it might go, and then we're going to talk about a small amount of cards, maybe 12 to 15 cards that you could add in, and then what, you know, a few cards maybe you should take out. So that's going to be a quick review. We're not going to do like a full build Idris from the ground up or any of the other commanders. This is just for people who are like, I'm going to grab that, you know, my pre-order is going to come in the mail from Card Kingdom, and I'm going to open it. And I'm going to just change it really quickly, just a quick upgrade before I play it. Or maybe I'm just going to play it right out of the box, but I want to know sort of what I'm supposed to do when I do play it for the first time. So
yeah, definitely. And these decks are super spicy, which is why you're going to want to satiate your appetite by going to cardkingdom.com/commandzone to buy these pre-cons, as well as satisfy all your need for singles and anything you want to do to upgrade this deck, any of the other 2016 pre-cons, or any of your pre-existing decks. They're a sponsor for the show.
That's right. Make sure you use the affiliate link so they know we're the ones that sent you. By the end of this episode, yes, you're going to want to order the Idris deck, the Entropic Uprising deck, and probably some of the singles that we're going to talk about. So Card Kingdom is a perfect place to do both, and they get stuff to you super fast so that you can be playing this stuff right after it comes out.
Yeah, within days, you'll get everything that you need sort of in one click of add to shopping cart and checkout, which is very, very impressive.
All right, let's talk about Entropic Uprising, the Idris deck, or the whiteless deck. So there's four legendary creatures that are new. This is the same as all the decks. The first one that we've mentioned, we are canceling the apocalypse.
It's Idris Elba is why we're saying this.
Right, and he was in Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also been in a lot of stuff, but Pacific Rim was particularly awesome. Idris is the whiteless commander, so it costs 4 mana for an Ogre Wizard, 5/4 with Trample. Says, whenever Idris Maelstrom Wielder deals combat damage to a player, as you cast spells from your hand this turn, they gain Cascade. Now, Cascade... Cascade says, when you cast the spell, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card that costs less. You may cast it without paying its mana cost. Put the exile cards on the bottom of your library in a random order. So you cast a spell that costs 6, let's say. And then when it triggers Cascade, you flip cards from the top of your deck until you flip a non-land card that costs less than 6. And then you cast that card. You don't draw it. You cast it.
Maelstrom Wanderer is the immediate sort of comparison to Idris. But Maelstrom Wanderer doesn't have black in its colors. But yeah, Idris is absurd. It gives spells in your hand Cascade.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. It means every spell you cast is going to cast another spell, right?
Yeah, guaranteed.
Because you're going to keep flipping until you find a spell. The only time it wouldn't is if you cast a one drop, or maybe if you cast a two drop where you don't have any one drops in your deck, because so it can't find a card. But
sometimes also if you cast and you get like a counter spell off of this, then you're obviously not going to want to cast that spell. So you can choose not to.
You would not have counter spells in a deck that was built around Idris because you don't want that kind of thing to happen in general.
Importantly, it says that you may cast it without paying its mana cost. You're cheating the mana cost of a card. You get a 2-for-1 essentially. And as we'll talk about later, Idris is particularly powerful because you can double strike him. They give your cards cascade, so it does it twice, just like Maelstrom Wanderer.
Yeah, that's a big thing about Idris is double strike means that stuff. It's better than Maelstrom Wanderer in that case because Maelstrom Wanderer itself cascades twice. Mm-hmm. But if you give Idris double strike, then all of a sudden everything you cast has cascade twice.
Yeah.
You know,
cascade, one of the most broken mechanics in Magic. There's a good reason that a lot of those cards that say cascade on them are banned in a lot of the constructed formats, because they're just that powerful.
Okay, so there are three commanders with partner that are all also in the deck. The first one is Vile Smasher the Fierce.
This used to be Ankle Shanker back before.
Is this the alternate parallel universe?
Yeah, Dragons of Tarkir came and it became Vile Smasher.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, one black and a red, Rakdos, for 2/3 Goblin Berserker. Whenever you cast your first spell each turn, Vile Smasher the Fierce deals damage to that spell's converted mana cost to an opponent chosen at random.
So you cast, let's say, a 6-drop spell, it's going to deal 6 damage randomly to one of your opponents. Now, that's only the first spell you cast each turn. So if you cast a 6-drop spell and then cast something else, the second spell won't trigger that.
Yes, but it does do it at instant speed if you cast it on someone else's turn.
Correct.
It's each turn, so.
It's kind of like Rush Me a little bit from the previous set, in that
you'd,
with Vile Smasher, if you're building around specifically Vile Smasher, you would want to have a lot of instants so that on this player's turn, that player's turn, the next player's turn, you're casting spells and getting more triggers. The next one is... Okay, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Last time we said Adele, that's clearly wrong. I sort of did look up some Greek pronunciation because I really was curious about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think, listen, nobody knows because, one, it's a made-up name. But
aren't all names made up, Josh?
Yeah, true, good point. The Y, we think, is like an I sound, like Kithian, because Gideon, Kithian. But it also could be like an I sound, like Cyclops or Python.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also be an E sound. So it could be Kadeli. The D-E-L-E, there's some Greek names that it sort of is an O-E sound. So I'm going to go with, it's either Kidali or Kidali.
Nidali.
Yeah, it might be Kidali.
I'm going to go with
Kidali.
Kidel.
Ah, it's the E on the end definitely makes some kind of a sound.
What about Kaidele?
Kaidele?
Kaidele chosen of, how
that's
about
like Pele from... Polynesian culture. That's how we would say the ELE is ELE.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's how the Greeks say it. Listen, we have no freaking clue. I'm not a linguist of any kind, so
I'm sorry. We've spent too much time even just talking
exactly.
about it.
It's Adele. Kaidele. Kaidele. Whatever.
Kaidele.
Chosen of Krufix, 2 and a green and a blue for a 2/3 legendary creature, human wizard. You can tap to add colorless or diamond mana to your mana pool for each card you've drawn this turn.
And that's all that matters about this card. Not the name, but this ability is pretty powerful.
This we've talked about before on the previous episode or 2 episodes ago, where you do things like Wheel of Fortune. You've drawn 7 cards that turn. Now she taps for 7 colorless mana.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of shenanigans then occur. Really, really strong card. Probably the strongest single partner commander.
Yeah. Notably, what's the one thing that you want to do after you spend a lot of mana drawing cards? Play those cards.
How do you do that? Get a lot of mana.
Yeah, have Kadeli Sandwich help you out. All right. The last legendary creature that's new is Thrasios, Triton Hero. Green and the blue for a 1/3 legendary creature merfolk wizard. You can pay 4 mana to scry 1, then reveal the top card of your library. If it's a land card, put it onto the battlefield tapped. Otherwise, draw a card, and it has partner as well. So this is very similar to Coiling Oracle, I believe. Right?
Yeah, basically you pay 4 mana and then sort of Coiling Oracle, plus you scry 1 first.
Yeah, which is really cool. You mm-hmm. draw a card for 1 no matter what. Draw a card for 4, sorry, no matter what. But if it's a land card, you ramp for 4.
Yeah, you draw and play, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, super powerful card. 4 is a lot, but this is also a 2-drop, so it comes out early, and you can start utilizing it. All of these are pretty strong. I think Vile Smasher is kind of the weakest as far as, like, you really got to build around it.
This also Thrasios?
Yeah.
Thrasios pairs really well with Idris as well, because you can kind of figure out, like, oh, do I want, you know, you're going to cascade anyway, so you can scry one, be like, I can put that in my, if it's a land, like, great, you get on the battlefield, and then you cascade past that or whatever.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about the stats. We had how did it go? Stats. Okay, that was our...
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Tournament Center, where we talk about stats here on our big, giant stat jumbotron board.
That's our ESPN Sports Center version. Yeah. That's okay.
And then we'll play like a stupid robot throwing a football at the end of it.
Stats. All right.
Ready to be sued.
So we always do the same 4 categories at first. So card draw. There are about 9 card draw spells. So a lot. A high number of those are wheel effects, which I will generally count as card draw. because you can wait to play them until you have less cards, and then you draw cards off it. Wheel effects, I should say, are Wheel of Fortune type effects. So Wheel of Fortune says you everybody just discards their hand and then draws 7 cards. So if you only have 2 cards, you just drew 5 cards when you do that. So that's why I would count those as card draw. There's about 10 ramp spells.
Whoa.
Again, going along with the Atraxa deck, where we saw they have definitely upped these 2 categories this year as opposed to the last couple of pre-cons. A lot of it is artifact ramp. Again, they have Signets. There's Chromatic Lantern is in this deck. There's a bunch of artifact type ramp. There is Burgeoning, which is another one. Again, I'll talk about some of this stuff a little bit later, but there's a good amount of ramp. That was the best thing for us, I think. I don't know if you felt the same way when breaking down Atraxa, but I was like, oh, good. I don't have to waste a bunch of time on the show saying, like, okay, add these boring ramp and card draw spells. They did cover that. So you can actually spend our time on the show talking about cool cards that do cool stuff, which is why people play Magic. even though I play it to draw cards. I don't care about the rest of it.
Yeah. if Josh had drawn the most cards, then he just automatically wins the game.
I don't care, in my mind. Yeah. the next category is targeted removal. There's about 5 targeted removal spells, which is, I think, pretty good amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all what I'd call premium targeted removal. Some of it's a little bit clunky, but it is in there. There is Chaos Warp, which is a really good a really good one. Hits a variety of targets, so that's great. And then Board Wipes, there's 5. So they did a really good job. These ratios are...
By the way, whitelist 5 board wipes.
Yeah.
Impressive.
These board wipes, these categories, you know, draw, ramp, target removal, board wipes, which are sort of the pillars of, you know, the foundation of your deck. These are almost exactly what we would drop, right? We like 10, 10, 5, 5 generally. Maybe a couple more wipes, but in general, I think this is really well done. So that's really encouraging when I'm first breaking down the deck. It's like, wow. I'm not going to have to talk about that very much because we talk about it in every show. So we're just going to move past it. The deck is pretty good on those fronts.
It's going to make it fun to play out of the box. I know a lot of stories have, like, everyone plays a commander deck that from the pre-cons and you just try and play it. This makes it so that things are a lot more balanced.
Yeah,
by
I
far.
Think so. Okay, so the problem is then the deck gets kind of confusing. And so as I was breaking out this deck, I was, like, really scratching my head. So I'm going to go through some of the categories. You know, like when you're doing Atraxa, you go, okay, cards that care that either have +1/+1 counters or care about +1/+1 counters, and it was like 30 cards out of the deck.
Yeah.
So you already know that's what the deck wants to do because you're looking for a category where there's a lot of cards in it because that tells you, okay, this is the strategy for the deck. This one is spread out a lot, and it makes it tough. Like cards with Cascade, there's 3. Cards that care about card draw because... Kadeli.
Mm-hmm. Kadeli sandwich?
Yeah. What the heck? There's...
I'm sure I offended someone somewhere by comparing a name to a ham sandwich.
It's not a real name, but I'm sorry if anybody's offended. So
name is made up, Josh. All our names are beautiful and unique.
That's a good point.
Except for ours, because there are a lot of people named James and Josh in the world.
A lot.
A lot.
There's less people named Lee Kwai.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so cards that care about card draw, there's 3.
Mm-hmm.
Cards that like make opponents discard, there's 7. Some of these are the wheel effects. Opponent discard payoff, so cards that say if an opponent discards a card, something happens. There's 3 of those.
This is already all over the place.
Yeah, there's the card Waste Knot, which I'll talk about a little bit later, but it really cares about your opponents discarding your cards, and it doesn't do anything if they're not discarding cards. So that's a question mark.
Yeah, there for one reason only.
Yeah, cards that put stuff in your own graveyard, there's 10. Again, wheel effects will sometimes do this. Cards that want stuff in your graveyard. There's 5. There's a couple more if you count delve cards. Cards that want specifically instants and sorceries in your graveyard. There's 3.
So this 8 total, or is this inside the 5?
This is inside the 5.
Okay, gotcha.
Cards that want specifically creatures in your graveyard. There's 1. Cards that want specifically lands in your graveyard. There's 1. Cards that care about your opponent's graveyard. There's 3. Again, wheel effects are the only thing that sort of tie this all together. So wheel effects, there's 5 wheel effects. There's 5 different types of Wheel of Fortunes. So the graveyard stuff really had me scratching my head because, listen, none of the legendaries we talked about say the word graveyard.
Right. Cascade doesn't have you put those cards into the graveyard if you can't cast them. They're on the bottom of your library in a random order.
It doesn't look in the graveyard. Adele and... Thrasios and Vial Smasher. None of those cards look at the graveyard or care about the graveyard. What is going on with all this graveyard stuff?
Pretty weird.
Yeah. And then there's also all this discard stuff, you know, and none of those cards say the word discard either. None of the legendaries. So I was like, what is going on? There's not stuff for Idris either.
Mm-hmm.
There's no give him double strike. There's no additional combat steps. So there's not like a bunch of like capitalize on Idris's ability. So I'm like scratching my head. What does this tell us? I think what it's telling us is that the wheel effects are really the glue that's holding this thing together. And so this gave me the clue that I believe that Kideli.
Just say Kideli, K. Just call her K.
That K. Oh, this is good. I believe that K is the right general to play as the lead singer, which means you have to run Vial Smasher with her, right? Because that is the only way to get all four colors. That's going to be a little bit counterintuitive. And I think if you run Idris out of it, it's fine because he's just a value engine. But there's nothing in the deck that particularly works well with Idris. It's it's like he's just a value card that allows you to play all the colors. And that will probably play just fine. You'll get value off of him.
Yeah. But here's the thing. If you just, by the time he comes out, if there's no way to abuse the amount of attacks you're having and he just gets blocked by a 5 toughness creature, then you don't get his trigger. So,
and there's not like a bunch of ways to get him through. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not like a bunch of give him blockable. There's a Whisper Silk Cloak, but there's not a lot of stuff like that. So again, I'm going to build this deck and talk you through it as if you're running K and Vial Smasher as the general. Man, the K thing is the best invention ever.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about rampant card draw. We talked about board wipes and removal. The interesting thing I'll say is that for the ramp, I would do the same thing you talked about for Atraxa. I would try and remove some of the artifact ramp and put in some of the green put lands into play land ramp. I like things like Farseek, things that cost 2 mana if possible, because my commanders cost 3 and 4 mana.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be stepping on those points on the curve. So Signets are still good, but if I can find other ramp cards in green that put lands into play that cost 2 mana or so, still you can run Explosive Vegetation, of course, and things like that, because they're good. But that is something I would do to upgrade the ramp. The board wipes and the targeted removal, again, these numbers are really solid. And one of the things I really like about the board wipes they've put in are there's a couple of return all non-land permanents to their owner's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great with wheel effects.
Oh, yeah.
Because you put it in their hand and then you make them discard it and draw new cards and all that stuff just gone. You know, and you can just hear the whole table groan when you do stuff like
yeah.
that. So I like that they thought of that and that's part of it. Again, wheel effects really the glue that hold this together. So let's talk about what's in the deck right now. We'll talk about the best cards in the deck. And the first one is a wheel effect, and it's one we don't see a lot. And it's because it's in colors that don't usually have Wheel of Fortune.
Right.
It's called Whispering Madness. This is a 4-mana sorcery. It's 2, a blue, and a black. It says each player discards his or her hand, then draws cards equal to the greatest number of cards a player discarded this way. So it's basically kind of like Windfall or something like that.
Mm.
If somebody else has 10 cards and you've only got 3, you're going to draw 10. You're going to discard and draw 10. This is bad in instances where you look around the table and everybody's only got like a couple of cards, but that's very rare in Commander. And then it has Cypher. So Cypher is you can exile this spell. Oh, okay, sorry, let me read exactly. So you Cypher, you cast it, then you may exile this spell card and code it on a creature you control. Whenever that creature deals combat damage to a player, its controller may cast a copy of the encoded card without paying its mana cost. So now if you hit a player, you cast this again.
Yeah, and that stays on.
It's basically like the card, becomes yeah. an enchantment, kind of.
Yeah, it becomes a permanent, like you can cast a copy of this over and over again. If you get rid of the creature, then the card's exiled. But until then, it's like you get a Whispering Madness as many times as you want, as long as that creature can just keep pinging in for any amount of combat damage to a player.
So with K, you can play this, hopefully draw 7, 8, 9 cards. She's now tapping for 9 mana. But if you play it and then cipher it onto a creature that then attacks
mm-hmm.
and hits them, you do it again, and now she's tapping for like 20 mana.
Yeah.
You can do that on turn 4, or sorry, 5, because you would have to cast her on 4.
Yeah. That's very powerful. I mean, that's like, hey, look, remember Eldrazi? They are easily accessible now to you at after like turn 4 or 5.
Yep. So super, super powerful. Yeah. Yep, the next card that I think is one of the best cards in the deck.
Nath of the Guilt Leaf. This card is great. Our friend Josh Kim also runs a discard-based deck, and Nath is an all-star in that deck. 3 a black and a green for a 4-4, a legendary elf warrior. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may have target opponent discard a card at random. Whenever an opponent discards a card, you may create a 1-1 green elf warrior creature token. So the upkeep thing, it's a May ability. It's going to piss people off, I think. But if you're making everyone sack or throw away cards with wheel effects, then you're putting tons of 1-1 green elves onto the battlefield. And that becomes a very quick win condition when people all of a sudden their plans are completely shattered because they've been sandbagging certain cards the entire game.
It's hard also to respond to a bunch of 1-1s when you can't hold that board wipe. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know. They're going to wheel you. Think of Whispering Madness, which we just talked about. You play that with Nath out, and all of a sudden, great things have just happened for you. And also, I like that Nath also at least does stuff by himself when you're not, when you don't have the wheel effects. So that's a very good card. And the last one we'll talk about is one of our favorite cards on the show, is our preview card for Conspiracy 2. It's Burgeoning. It's a 1-mana enchantment. Whenever an opponent plays a land, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield.
Wheel effects. Love this. Oh, yep. My gosh.
It's so good with wheel effects because you play out all your lands and your hand's empty, play a wheel effect, grab another hand which has a bunch of lands in it, play them all out again. Let's talk about... Sorry. Ooh.
Nice. Had a good heft to it.
Yeah.
We printed these on special paper by accident. So
just
they're
so
all...
they would have heft. Let's talk about the worst cards in the deck, some of the not-so-good cards.
Yeah.
This could be good in some day, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know if it's ever good.
I don't think it's good at all.
Go ahead.
Parting Thoughts. It's not good. Sorry, the card's called Parting Thoughts. 2 in the black sorcery. Destroy a target creature. You draw X cards and you lose X life, where X is the number of counters on that creature. Unless you're playing against the Atraxa deck specifically, this could sometimes just be destroy a target creature, do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be playing your own deck that's putting a lot of counters on creatures so that you knew you could use it to sack one of your own creatures basically and draw cards, which also is not the best. But
yeah, because you're 2-for-1-ing yourself sometime. I mean, you're like 2-for-2-ing yourself. It has to, you know, it's just not a good deal essentially.
And you never even know if you're going to be playing against anybody that has +1/+1 counters at all. It's just, yeah, it's not a very good. I guess it says any number of counters. They don't have to be +1/+1 counters, but whatever. It's very possible that that card sits in your hand. You're looking at it going like, well, it does destroy a creature. Listen, it does destroy a creature. But without the draw cards thing, we can do way better. We can get an instant.
Yeah, there's so many different ways you can draw cards in these colors. You have blue.
Yeah.
You don't need to have Parting Thoughts where you're also going to be losing a lot of life if you like do it successfully. You know, there are a lot of already board wipes. Like we said, there are 5 board wipes in here that you can use that you're going to be okay getting rid of creatures. And there's a lot of single target removal as well.
The next card, Whims of the Fates. This is 5 in red for a sorcery. Starting with you, each player separates all permanents he or she controls into 3 piles. Then each player chooses one of his or her piles at random and sacrifices those permanents. So you separate into 3 piles, and one of them is randomly just going away.
Yeah, I like Whims of the Fates.
It's one of those...
because it's ridiculous and funny, but not good.
Oh, it also says piles can be empty. So if you're a gambler, which we all know that I am and Jimmy is, you can put all your permanents in one pile and leave the other 2 piles empty and just hope you don't get, you know, really unlucky.
Yeah, you like roll 2, 4, or 6, or 1 to 2, 3 to 4, or 5 to 6 to choose one of them, and you have like, all right, I'm going to keep it all in here.
I'm letting it all ride.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Again, this is just a pure chaos card. I think it was a fun times reprint, but I don't think it's actually that good.
Yeah, it's just hard to get strategic advantage out of it because you just don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Oh, Blood Tyrant. Yeah, this is a card that I've always wanted to put in a deck, especially my Marchesa deck. It's 7 mana. It's 4 in Grixis, blue, black, red. Flying Trample, 5/5. At the beginning of your upkeep, each player loses 1 life. Put a +1/+1 counter on Blood Tyrant for each 1 life lost this way. And whenever a player loses the game, put 5 +1/+1 counters on Blood Tyrant. This just reads win more. It doesn't really do anything but besides be a large flying trampler, which is powerful, but it's not. It's okay.
Yeah, it's just not. So for 7 mana, you just can't do this. You can't play like a card that sits there, doesn't do anything until your next upkeep. And then what it does do is gain like 4 counters and do 4 damage. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not powerful enough for the amount of mana that it costs.
And it doesn't seem to do much in this deck either, outside of be a high CMC card for Idris to cascade from.
And we also are talking about taking out the only card that says +1/+1 counters on it, which is Parting Thoughts. And so you might as well take this out too, because no other card cares about plus one counters or anything.
Yeah.
The next one is an interesting card. It's one of the new cards. It's called Frenzied Fugue.
Fugue. Like a fugue state, I believe.
Frenzied Fugue. It's an enchantment aura. You enchant permanent. When Frenzied Fugue enters the battlefield or at the beginning of your upkeep, gain control of enchanted permanent until end of turn. Untap that permanent. It gains haste until end of turn. So you enchant somebody else's thing. You get it now as a threatened effect, and it goes back to them at the end of the turn. But then, in a weird twist, you get it every upkeep as long as it's still around. It's kind of a cool card.
Yeah.
You steal something all the time.
The same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
If that thing isn't like Avacyn and is indestructible, though, it doesn't seem that great because it's like you're never going to play a treachery effect in EDH in general because it's a one-time use. This does get to do it again and again, but I don't think you're actually too interested in that because it's too easy for opponents to deal with. Being like, oh, we keep stealing this thing. I'm going to swing it to you. Can you just block it and kill it?
Yeah.
Like, sure.
Now, it's a permanent, so you can do it on a land or something, I guess, or a planeswalker or whatever. But
that's
then
true.
You're also incentivized, like you said, to keep it around. So if it's really good, you're kind of helping your opponent keep it too.
Yeah. I could see this being good when you're stealing like a Gaia's Cradle, right? Because there's no other way for a red deck to do that. So I might play this in a mono red deck, but I don't think you need it in a deck that has four colors.
Yeah, because you can do everything you want to do just with you, and you'll know what it does, right? This is a card, again, that you don't know what you're stealing. Again, if I had sac outlets or it was Marchesa and I knew I could sac it and keep it maybe forever, I might keep that card, but it doesn't really synergize with the deck. So let's talk about some notable reprints. Hashtag value.
Yeah, woo! Pest and Flames. Yep. I like this card a lot. Three in a red. We talked about it in the last show as well last week. It's a sorcery. Each instant and sorcery card in your graveyard gains flashback until end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost. And this card can also be flashback for four and a red. You can cast this card from your graveyard for its flashback cost, then exile it. So you get to use Pass and Flames twice. You get access to all of these instants and sorceries in your graveyard twice as long as you haven't cast it already with flashback. So this gives you two shots to just buy back some of the most powerful spells you're going to send in the game towards your opponents.
It's one of those cards that's really good, particularly in EDH 2, because it breaks, in some ways, the one card per deck rule where, you know, Pass and Flames allows you to cast a card you've already cast in that game, which because you can't have two copies.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Chromatic Lantern, which is three mana for an artifact. Lands you control have tap, add one mana of any color to your mana pool. So it gives all your lands the ability to tap for five color. And then it itself says tap, add one mana of any color to your mana pool. So this was your number one artifact on our top 10 artifacts.
Yeah, and a lot of people have made the statement that they wish that they had Chromatic Lantern in every deck because they're all four color and it'd be great to make sure that there's one artifact in every deck that can ensure every deck can play their cards. Unfortunately, it's only in this Idris deck, but the card's awesome. Obviously, you're going to be happy to get it and happy to use it because it's almost impossible to cut from a deck that has more than three colors.
Yep. And when I said earlier, like, oh, I want my mana ramp to cost two because I have a commander that costs three and another one that costs four, Chromatic Lantern is so good. You don't take it out.
Yeah.
Because it just totally, you don't even have to worry about your mana once it's out. So let's talk about the deck right now at this point. We're not adding any cards yet. We're just talking about out of the box. How does it seem? What does it play like? It seems pretty unfocused.
Seems chaotic.
Yeah. There's some weird cards in there. It doesn't have like a really great plan of what it wants to do. You know, like I said, the biggest unifying factor is kind of like wheel effects in your graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
So there's delve cards that care about, you know, stuff in your graveyard. There's stuff that wants to target instants and sorcerers in your graveyard, like Pass and Flames. Wheel effects are really the glue that's holding this whole thing together. If that's the case, there's five. There's only five.
Oof.
Now, five is a good start, but it's not enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, not enough to get specifically to be delivering things into your graveyard, because that's the one of the main benefits of the wheel effect, right?
Right. It's making your opponents discard. You get that kind of stuff. It's drawing cards because of Kay and making her tap for a lot of mana, but you have to draw the wheel effect. Now, good thing about wheel effects is once you reach critical mass of them in your deck, the one draws you into the next one that draws you into the next one that draws you into the next one. But when you only have five, I think there's going to be too many points along the way where you just never get one.
Yeah.
And then the deck doesn't really do what it's trying to do. And you're kind of in a lot of trouble then because you're not putting stuff in your graveyard, so all those cards don't work. And you're not making opponents discard, so all those cards don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not drawing a bunch of cards, so K doesn't work. So what are you doing? So that's my worry with this deck. And I think straight out of the box, without any upgrades, just run Idris.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best way to win. Like, for the deck to be the strongest. Because by himself, Idris is a value engine that's going to accrue enough value that will sort of overcome, I think, some of this unfocusedness. But if you're going to do a quick tune-up, I think that the best way, because a tune-up for Idris requires a complete overhaul of the deck, because you don't want necessarily wheel effects at all and all this graveyard shenanigans. Yeah. It doesn't really do much with Idris. So that's a bigger change to the deck. So if I'm going to do this little tune-up, then I want K and I want Vile Smasher as my two commanders.
Yeah, because K is the big ramp one, right? If you're able to use her to just generate a ton of mana, then awesome, you're going to kill it. But yeah, if you just buy this deck and you're just going to play it, use Idris. It's going to be flashier, and I think you're going to have more fun in sort of a casual game that's not trying to like upgrade the deck any bit.
Okay, so let's talk about the cards to add. The first is Wheel Effects. There's not enough right now. Wheel of Fortune and its ilk. I would prefer the ones that make people discard, but there are ones that make everybody shuffle their hands into their library and draw that many. Those can be fine too. You do have cards that care about discard though, so I'd lean towards those. Wheel of Fortune itself, Dark Deal, Magus of the Wheel, all these are fine. Mm-hmm. I would add 3 to 5 more. Just a lot of these are not expensive, so you can add them. I won't go through all of them. Then there's some cards that are like free, quote unquote, card dropper turn. So once you get them out, they're going to dramatically increase the count for K.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we recall, she taps for colorless mana for the amount of equal to the amount of cards you've drawn that turn. So yeah, this is a really good one with her.
Yeah, this came out in Commander 2015. Haven't seen it played yet. Arjun, the Shifting Flame, 4 a blue and a red for a 5/5 flyer. Whenever you cast a spell, put the cards in your hand on the bottom of your library in any order, then draw that many cards. I think it's similar to like
Mind Moil,
yeah.
Which is another card that might go in the deck. It's actually exactly Mind Moil, just stapled onto a 5/5 flyer. Mm-hmm. Both of these are good. And so you just have to cast a spell, and all of a sudden, all the cards in your hand go on the bottom. You draw that many, and now K taps for a whole ton of mana.
Yeah.
The other one is, another one is Forgotten Creation. 3 and a blue for a 3/3 zombie horror, has skulk, doesn't matter. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may discard all the cards in your hand. If you draw that many cards. So you don't have to do this, but if you have K out, you almost always want to.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to dig for something. Like, all these cards, the wheel effects, the reason they're so good, people are like, but you're putting your hand away. It's like, no, you're actually trying to use these cards to find a specific card to cast with K. That's why they're in the deck.
Yeah, and that's a really good point we'll get to in a little bit. But yes, that's the great thing about wheel effects, is it actually lowers the amount of win conditions you need, right? Because you're going to wheel, found it, mm-hmm. go. Forgotten Creation helps you with that. The next one is another one we talk about a lot. It's Teferi's Puzzle Box. 4 mana for an artifact. At the beginning of each player's draw step, that player puts the cards in his or her hand on the bottom of his or her library in any order, then draws that many cards. So it's Forgotten Creation, but it's not a May ability, and everybody does it.
Yeah, pretty powerful. I think Teferi's Puzzle Box creates the most groans out of a lot of players, because they're, you know, all of a sudden it's like you've been holding cards for 4 or 5 turns. Nope, they're going bye-bye.
All my plans, they're melting.
And if you're in the position of like, that's great, I can't wait to do this so I can generate more mana, then thumbs up to you. But I think for more often than not, wheel effects hurt everyone else much more, and they benefit you way more. So it's a very skewed scale, I think.
The next section is called Untap Kaitaly K.
K.
Every time I say it, I'm like, that doesn't sound right. The first one everyone's talking about with her, it's Umbral Mantle. It's 3 mana for an equip cost of 0. It says equip creature has pay 3 and then the untapped symbol. This creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. So you pay 3 and then you untap the creature and it gets +2/+2. The thing with K is that if you can ever create more than 3 mana, or mm-hmm. I guess even if you can create 3 mana, then you can tap her to create the 3 mana that untaps her. And you can grow her to an infinite size.
Yeah, so she just get huge. You just keep doing this back and forth, because every time she taps for 3, you just pay that 3 back. Or she taps for 4, you pay the 3 back, you taps for 4. So you can also add infinite mana if it's above 3.
Yeah, if you've got 4 or more, you've got infinite colorless mana now with Umbral Mantle and K out. Along similar lines, not the exact same, it's Thousand Year Elixir. Go mm-hmm. ahead.
Yeah, it's a 3-drop artifact. You may activate abilities of creatures you control as though those creatures had haste. And then you can pay 1 mana and tap it to untap target creature. So, again, this allows K to be played and then immediately use her effect. So, very powerful in general, because I think you have a lot of I mean, for you in like a Tim deck, this is like, this is it. Thousand Year Elixir is awesome. But in this deck, it's great for Kaydale.
If K can tap for like seven mana, then you create seven, use one of it to untap or create seven more. Now you've made 13 mana with her. It's very powerful. Another one that's on the higher end of the cost spectrum is, I won't go into it too much, is Staff of Domination.
Right.
If you have the ability, that card definitely belongs in there because it does a million things with all the mana. The problem with K can be that she taps for colorless.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times there's a cap on how much colorless mana is useful to you unless you have like an X spell or something. Because at a certain point you're like, well, I need colored mana. That's going to be sort of the thing that's holding you back. So a couple of cards that help turn that colorless mana into non-colorless mana, into colored mana, would be really good. And this first one is probably the best one.
Yeah, this is a card that might go into the Atraxa deck as well because it's got counters on it. It's Gemstone Array. It's a 4-drop artifact. You can pay 2 generic mana to put a charge counter on it. And at instant speed, remove a charge counter from Gemstone Array, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So if you make 12 mana with K, you could add 6 charge counters and it becomes any other color. So it's a two generic mana for 1 color of any mana you choose.
Yep. And they sort of add up over time too. So you can sort of store a bunch of mana, right? So K's like right now taps for 7 mana, but I don't need all of it. I'll just put a couple on the Gemstone Array to save until my next turn when I'll take those counters off and cast stuff. Then the other one is Magus of the Candelabra. This is the creature version of Candelabra of Taunos. It's a 1 green for a 1/2. It says pay X and tap, untap X target lands. So you can use this with K to untap lands to give yourself more colored mana. It's not quite as good as Gemstone Array, but I think the deck really wants this effect and it's willing to play this kind of card. Also, this card does work with things like the Umbral Mantle and the Thousand Year Elixir and the Staff of Domination, so it does cross-synergize with stuff you're already doing.
Yeah, you can also play cards like Krufix to just use the extra mana that's stored in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cards like Omnath like that as well.
Yep.
But where are you going to use that mana, Josh?
Now, that's the thing. Use that mana. So, I mean, I've been dying to cast this guy for a while.
This is it, by the way, because it synergizes so well with K.
Yep. So this is the deck for Kozilek the Great Distortion.
Not the Butcher, the Distortion.
I mean, you can play the Butcher too, but
I think you play a lot of Eldrazi in this deck.
Yeah, but you're right. This like totally synergizes. So Kozilek the Great Distortion is 8 and 2 colorless, so 8 and 2 diamond, 10 mana total. For a legendary Eldrazi, it's a 12/12. When you cast Kozilek the Great Distortion, if you have fewer than 7 cards in hand, draw cards equal to the difference.
Kay likes that too.
Has Menace, and says discard a card with converted mana cost X. Counter target spell with converted mana cost X. So this is just a really, really powerful card. And you could get this card out on possibly turn 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get K out maybe on turn 3 with a Signet or something. Actually, you could maybe get this out on turn 4. On turn 4, you Wheel of Fortune. You get enough card draw to create enough mana maybe with the Signet and maybe with the Thousand Year Elixir to do it. Mm-hmm. It's possible. Again, just turn 5 Kozilek, I think, would be extremely powerful. It's going to draw you back up to 7 cards. It's going to make it so you counterspell anything that kills it, hopefully. And it's just a 12/12 with Menace at that point. It seems pretty great.
Yeah, the drawing is great. And the discard to counter, I think, is also very important, too. Especially if you're going to be running other Eldrazi in your deck. And it's a great way to shuffle your library, your graveyard back into your library. If you're like, hey, I want to replay that effect again. Like, well, hope I find it with K, or hope I find it with my wheel effects. You know, throw it back in the library.
It could also be that you play Kozilek and it draws you enough cards in addition to what else you've done that now you can cast something else that turn because it drew you 6 more cards and you already drew 7 with your Wheel of Fortune and you untap her one time and then boom, you cast something huge like, you know, Old Ulamog.
Yeah.
So Ulamog the Infinite Gyre.
Hero.
Here. Hero.
Yeah, like the thing you eat.
Shouldn't that have an O?
No. It's gyre, I believe. like an ocean gyre.
Yeah, I think it's gyre. So it's an Eldrazi 10/10, costs 11 mana. When you cast Old Ulamog, destroy target permanent. Has indestructible. Also has Annihilator 4, so whenever this creature attacks, defending player sacrifices 4 permanents. That's key. It's also when Ulamog is put into graveyard from anywhere, its owner shuffles into the graveyard, into the library.
Mm-hmm.
shuffles his or her graveyard into reserve library, not just Old Lamogle. Everything goes.
Yeah.
Which keeps you from being milled. It's not great because you want things in your graveyard, but it's so powerful because if you get it out on turn five, Annihilator 4 is devastating.
Yeah, it also doesn't let it get recurred by, like, you know, return right. this card at the battlefield tap from your graveyard or whatever.
The thing you can do in this deck, and you're probably trying to do, is get these cards out pretty early. So yeah. you wheel, maybe wheel again, turn 5-6, you cast this Ulamog, and it's indestructible. It's very early in the game. If anybody gets annihilated, they're sacking, you know,
four permanents.
Yes, a couple of lands, something else. It's really hard to recover from that. I also think Nulamog is playable.
Yeah. Nulamog, I think, is absurd. 10 mana, you cast him, exile 2 target permanents, and it's indestructible. And when it attacks, the defending player exiles the top 20 cards of their library. Ugh.
Yep, so they're just dead in a couple of turns.
Yeah, it's
from
like
that.
Turbo Mill. Yep. And it's indestructible. That's really the big one.
The next one is, go ahead.
Mizzix's Mastery, 3 in a red for a sorcery, came out in the last Commander set. Exile target card that's an instant or sorcery from your graveyard. For each card exiled this way, copy it, and you may cast the copy without paying its mana. Then you exile Mizzix's Mastery. However, you can overload it for 8 mana, 5 red, 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 and you target every single instant or sorcery in your graveyard, and you can cast the copy without paying its mana cost. So it's like the Insurrection of spells.
So the last card in this sort of use your mana category is like, I was trying to think, if you have a bunch of colorless mana, either an infinite amount because of Umbral Mantle or, you know, just a lot, how can I convert that into, you know, winning the game or KOing players? And I came up with a really simple one. Fireball.
Yeah, X and a red deals X damage divided evenly rounded down among any number of target creatures and or players, and it costs 1 more to cast for each target beyond the first. So if you have infinite mana, you just kill everyone immediately.
Yeah, you go a million to you, a million to you, a million to you. No problem. If you just have a lot of mana, because I think there will probably be turns where like you have Arjun out or maybe Forgotten Creation also, you Wheel of Fortune, all of a sudden K is tapping for like 40 mana with Thousand Year Elixir, that's 80 mana. You just, you know, go, I'll just deal 39 to you and 39 to you.
Yeah, pretty good to kill two people in one turn.
But yes, that idea of you know, just boom, I just use all this mana and I somehow win or get myself closer to winning.
Yeah.
And then the last category I just called May as Well. May as Well, because,
May as well.
Because you are doing the thing that goes with this other thing. I'm being obtuse for no reason. Leovold is what I'm talking about. Emissary of Trest. So we've talked about him recently. Cost Soltai, 3 mana total for a 3/3 Elf Advisor. Says each opponent can't draw more than one card each turn. Whenever you or a permanent you control becomes the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, you may draw a card. So the big one here is that each opponent can't draw more than one card each turn, right? You're doing a bunch of Wheel of Fortune effects, Teferi's to Puzzle Box. Mm-hmm. Wheel of Fortune now says, if Leovold's out, everybody discards their hand, and then your opponents draw one card, but you draw 7 cards.
Yeah, that's brutal. I mean, that's a really a fast way to make everyone hate you, but also have nothing to do because they have no cards in their hand anymore. So
you're like, you don't like me, but you can't do anything about it.
Sorry, buddy.
With Teferi's Puzzle Box, it actually, they end up with 0 cards mm-hmm. on their hand because they draw their card for turn, then they take all their cards, put them on the bottom of their library. Then they would normally draw those many cards, but because they already drew one, Leovold says, uh-uh. You already drew one. That's all you get.
Yeah, the card's particularly mean, but hey, you know, this is a deck that wants to control in that way, and it's. I think playing Leovold in the 99 is great. I would 100% do that. Playing him as your commander is pretty mean and nasty.
But, I mean, I got a Mizzix deck, so if anybody pulls out Leovold, that seems fair.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Okay, so that's it for the cards we're going to specifically talk about. If you go to the show notes, either on collected.company on the YouTube page, you will see a full list of what I would say to take out and what I would say to add in. I think there's 15 of each. You'll mm-hmm. notice that in the takeout list, I had Swamp. Takeout Swamp. Just yep. one. The deck has 38 lands plus, I think, 5 basic land cyclers. I might even take out 2 lands.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go below that. But with so many wheel effects that you're adding also, you're just going to draw into lands more often. So I don't think you're going to have to worry so much about lands, and mm-hmm. you can free up a couple slots that way.
Yeah, definitely. To the listeners, did we miss any cards? Do you think Kay is the correct commander for this deck based on what we said? Or do you think you'd rather find a way to tune this deck so that Idris works out to be the better commander in the 99 of the pre-con with a little bit of addition and subtraction? Let us know. You can send us a tweet at CommandCast or post a comment on our YouTube site or go to collected.company and post on the podcast page itself.
Yeah, I do want to reiterate that if you're taking the pre-con and making no changes, I do believe we are canceling the apocalypse.
Idris Elba
is the way to go. But for a quick tune-up, I think that K is who to build around because the deck's closer to that. Now, for a total page one rewrite, you know, like a from the ground up build, I think Idris is probably a deck we're going to talk about in the future that we're both excited about and I think can be very powerful.
Yeah, certainly. All right, make sure you guys go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone if you're going to be ordering any Commander 2016 product, including singles or these pre-cons themselves. It's a great place to go. You'll get your cards so quickly as soon as you order them. Not as soon as you order them, but as soon as you order them, they're already working on putting it into envelopes and shipping it out to you. So if you want to get on the ground running with these pre-cons, you can order them from there as well as your singles. I highly suggest it.
Yep, you're going to want to play these things as soon as possible, and Card Kingdom is going to get that stuff to you faster than anybody.
Cardkingdom.com/commandzone.
Time for the end step, where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic.
BlizzCon happened this last weekend, and Blizzard is home of a lot of some of the highest quality games on the market. While recording this before BlizzCon actually happened, I'm only going down on Friday. 2 years ago, we went down together.
Yep, and we got our butts kicked in front of everybody.
Yeah, in Heroes of the Storm. That was interesting. Awesome. But it's going to be really interesting. I love to see a company just get out there and be like, we have three games, four games. We're going to do a convention about it.
It's a huge convention for the fact that they only have four or five properties.
Yeah.
I mean, people come from all over the world. I saw Gavin's coming into town, our good friend Brian Tran. I saw that...
Aaron Forsyth.
I saw that Pandemonium from PAX, who I got to hang out with. He was one of the community ambassadors from Australia, was coming all the way out.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, tons of people.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some Magic games in as well. Who knows? But yeah, great convention. I would suggest you guys... I mean, like, if you haven't played the Blizzard game, if you want to find out, like, what does the top developer in video games do to make their game as refined and beautiful as possible, play something like Overwatch. And I think that's going to be huge for Blizzard this year because that's their huge new title, you know?
Yep. Yeah, BlizzCon, pretty sweet. You know, a guy that plays Overwatch, but I haven't actually got to play with him, is Alex Kessler, who's one of the hosts of the Masters of Modern podcast with Ben Bateman. They talk about Modern as a format, all things competitive Magic. You can find them on Twitter at the MMCast or right next to us on collected.company, which is our new sort of hub for us and them. There's going to be some big announcements with them here soon, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, Ben's also actually down at BlizzCon as well. He's doing coverage and stuff.
Ben is all over the place with stuff like that.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Our editor for the show is Terry Robertson, who does all of the video content for the show. Make sure you check that out so you can follow along with all these brand new cards in these Commander 2016 pre-constructed decks at youtube.com/thecommandzonepodcast. And a big special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who provides the living card animations at the beginning and end of our videos. Make sure you give him a follow as well at livingcardsmtg on Twitter.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And we will see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.